This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Today we're talking with Pastor Bob Littleton. Good morning, Pastor Bob Littleton.
Good morning, Rhett and listeners. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you here, too. Now, officially, you're a pharmacist. Your wife is a pharmacist. How many children do you have?
We have five children, ranging in age from 32 to 21.
How many grandkids now?
We have number six on the way.
Oh, my word. What a blessed family you are. And you're a pastor at what church?
I'm the youth minister at King's Baptist Church in Vero Beach.
Well, this is a really important subject because, 80% of the people that would come forward at a Billy Graham crusade were, of course, people under 25 and under. So it's very important to harvest that group of people.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm very passionate about young people and reaching them and equipping them to how to be effective witnesses for Christ, how to be servants of Christ, how to live for Him. So that's my passion.
Did I ask you where your church is, the name of it, where it is?
Yes, you did. We're in Vero Beach. It's King's, K-I-N-G-S, Baptist.
Pretty easy on 58th.
Yes.
Okay, so at one point you were you didn't know Jesus at all, didn't believe in Him, right?
That's correct. I grew up in a somewhat dysfunctional home. And in New Jersey, actually was born in Brooklyn, New York, and raised in New Jersey with a kind of an irreligious family. You know, we went to church a couple times a year, mm-hmm. but it wasn't anything that meant anything to me. Jesus was sort of like a historical figure to me. I believed in all the facts about Christ, but it was almost like believing in George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. I believed in them in the same way I did Jesus.
What's this? It's just, you know.
Yeah, he never did anything for me.
How long did this endure, this, not knowing Jesus and being in the world and of the world?
I was probably in my mid-20s before something started happening. I remember thinking as a kid, I'm going back a little bit, I remember thinking around Easter time, we're coming off this Easter season here, and I remember thinking, why in the world do they call Good Friday good? I mean, why is it called Good Friday? That always confused me as a young man with a little bit of a church background, and I'll come back to that maybe later on in my story, but maybe some of the listeners wondered the same thing. You know, why is a day that Jesus died called Good Friday?
Yeah, I used to wonder about that. It seemed, here's a guy that's on the cross dying. Why would it be called Good Friday?
Yeah, absolutely. It just seemed like it should be a horrible Friday. But when I finally came to the point where I understood what he did, then it all of a sudden it made sense. You know, why it's good. God took the greatest tragedy in human history, the death of the Son of God, and turned it into the greatest victory that we as believers have. He's paid the penalty for our sin, and He's opened heaven's gates for us, invited us to have a relationship with Him, but all that had to happen because of the cross.
Now, let's go back to your beginning, though. So you didn't always believe this. You were a man of the world. Were you already a pharmacist with your degree before you knew Jesus?
Yeah, that's correct. I was a pharmacist. I was living, a party life with my friends and live to kind of get drunk on the weekends, and that was my life. And actually I went to Duquesne University. This is in Pittsburgh, and this is where my party life started and really took off. And ironic was that my dad was an alcoholic, and I wanted to be anything except what my dad was like. That was my goal, to be anything but him.
Well, what was he like?
He was very passive. He lived to drink, every day. Went to work, went to the bar, and that's and that eventually what I started becoming. And So then my story began with God sending people to me in my life. Like, I remember one Friday night going to Fort Lauderdale Beach, and this is after I moved to Florida. Fort Lauderdale Beach, heading there to party, get drunk, and there was a group of young people. I don't know how old they were, but they approached me, and they said, "Can we tell you the story?" And I'm like, "Sure, whatever." And they told me like a modern-day rendition of the prodigal son. I remember walking away from that thinking, man, that was strange. But I could relate, you know, somewhat to that story. And
what part of the story could you relate to? And somebody might be listening to this who doesn't know about the prodigal son who asked for his inheritance when he was young and went off with wine, women, and song, right?
Exactly. You know, and that was becoming me. You know, I started out, you know, like I said, a dysfunctional family. You know, but it was somewhat normal. I bet many of your listeners grew up in a family that didn't have it together. And my family definitely didn't have it together. We went to church a couple times a year. But anyway,
like Easter and Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. CEO Christians.
What's CEO mean?
Christmas and Easter only. So anyway, getting back to the prodigal son story. So I started becoming this prodigal son, doing everything that I didn't want to do.
Like what? Well, like what specifically?
Alcohol, womanizing, being crazy, doing stupid stuff, you know, kind of thing. So anyway, that's, I can relate to that, you know. And when the story ends with the, you know, the son and the father being reconciled, and, you know, I definitely couldn't relate to that part. So, but I want to ask your listeners, have you ever been used by God to be a witness to somebody else in out on the street or whatever? Because we're called to go out and be his hands and feet and his mouthpiece. So anyway, I guess it was a few months later. I was at the county fair down in Hallandale, Florida. And I remember going to the fair. I forget if I was with friends or whatever. But the only thing I really remember about that night is a conversation I had with this believer who, I don't remember how it started, but we talked for 30 or 45 minutes.
Was this one of those Bible tents where they're giving away the free Gideon Bibles or something like that?
It may have been. I really don't remember. I just remember walking away from this long conversation with this guy saying that I don't understand everything that he was saying, but I was so drawn by his passion for the Lord, and I wanted that passion that he had. I envisioned myself sitting in church and just falling asleep, being bored to death, and contrasting that with this guy's passion for being out at the fair.
Now, you seem very emotional. Now, explain to people why. I can see you got tears in your eyes. You're very emotional about this.
Every time I tell this story, I'm living it over again. It's like it happened yesterday. And this is back in the late 80s. Anyway, so yeah, I'm teared up right now. Just reliving this. And so I left that fair that night thinking, I want what this guy has.
What did he have? A peace? A joy? What did you sense about this guy?
He had an enthusiasm for God, a passion. And I didn't have that. So anyway, I remember that probably the next weekend, that, you know, maybe it was Friday or Saturday, I think I went to church that next Sunday, and I remember sitting in the back row just kind of falling asleep. Just, this wasn't it for me, you know. So I started checking around different churches, but anyway, during this whole process, I began dating my wife. And,
well, at first she didn't want anything to do with you. This is an important subject because if there's a godly house in this town, it's the house of Bob and Lynn Littleton. It's the kids have all grown up to love the Lord. There's always young people in their 20s, young teenagers running around. Right now you have a young man who's very dedicated to the Lord, studying to be a doctor, who's staying at your house. There's always food on the table for anybody who happens to stop in at the Littleton Ranch, you know?
Yeah, so my wife has the gift of hospitality.
She sure does.
But anyway, so we were just sort of kicking off our relationship, and she could see a change in me was coming. You know, look, I said, put it this way, it was like the Lord had me on the end of the hook, and he was slowly reeling me in.
Now, your wife was not a Christian at this time, correct?
That's correct. She wasn't either.
Now, you both went to pharmaceutical school. I used to work at Albany Medical Center. The pharmaceutical school was there. You really have to have the intellect of a doctor to be a pharmacist, because you have to remember all those chemicals and stuff. Otherwise, you could kill somebody. And, you know, it is written that the mind of man is enmity with the Spirit of God. The mind of man is enmity with the Spirit of God. So if we're trying to figure things out intellectually, Jesus asked Peter, said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, I say you're the Messiah. He said, man's intellect has not revealed this to you, but the Spirit, the living Spirit, the Holy Spirit has revealed this to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, so as my story starts to unfold, I started checking around different churches. Because of this young man, never met him again. I'll look forward to seeing him again someday in glory. But we end up meeting some young people who were telling us about this encounter weekend called Discover. And I was like, all right, I'll check it out. I was to the point where I was getting hungry. I think I started, I went to this thing called Christ Renews His Parish. And I started kind of randomly opening a New Testament Bible, reading that a little bit.
Now, was this some sort of a denominational thing, or where was this?
I was semi-raised Catholic, you know, in the Roman Catholic Church, but, you know, not nominal at all. But anyway, yeah, this was everything I've experienced so far, and to this point is only
Well, I think there's
Catholic.
A lot of Catholics, as there are a lot of Christians, as there are a lot of whatever denomination there is, there's a lot of Catholics that absolutely know the Lord. They may be born again and may not even understand that term. They are dedicated, and they've had a spiritual birth. But there are many pew sitters in all denominations that are sitting there, and they're asleep. They are the living dead, as he said.
Absolutely. So, and this weekend I went to... there was a bunch of 20-somethings there, and I met this couple that put on the weekend called Bud and Ellie Ricardo. Anyway, and they shared throughout the course of the weekend their testimonies of all the things that happened in their life and all the heartache and grief and just heartbreak and went on. And I began to think, for the very first time in my life, I saw a need for God. I said, What do I have when the bottom drops out in my life? You know, what am I going to cling to?
Mm-hmm.
And this couple, you know, clearly showed Christ, you know, through their life. So that weekend, I began to see my need for Jesus.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day. Shadows, you are shining. Hope for love.